Yeah, in the ideal society, from the time the woman gets pregnant, even before the woman conceives, people will, energy follows thought, like I said, they'll put thought into how the child is going to develop. And they'll send him positive energy with actual power they're thinking. Some research has also shown that when you play good music or speak peaceable words to the child, even when they're in the womb, it's actually beneficial to them and helps with their development. Matter of fact, people have been regressed back to when they've been in the womb and there's been an argument with the parents, or there's been a lot of friction, or maybe a fight, or maybe the woman has been physically hurt, and the person by regression can go back and recall that time and actually pinpoint that as a something that later developed into an illness or some problem that manifested in their later life that started when the baby even was in the womb. So that's pretty fascinating thinking. So in the ideal society, I visualize that people will approach parenthood much more scientifically, the development of children more scientifically, and raising them constructively without programming them, leaving them open to develop their own philosophy and mind, but merely guiding them in the right direction so that they can develop their resources and their creativity. Yeah, Susan.
Do you remember when we had that one gathering and you took that lady into the future?
Yeah.
And she talked about how babies had their own private nurses to take care of them?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you see something like that as well?
Yeah, I think we'll have things like that happen. I think in the future, the raising of children will be much more scientific. And I think population will be more naturally controlled because people will have not have babies just by accident, but it will be more planned, but on the other hand, not forced either. And I think parents will receive more instruction and education about how to be a better parent. Matter of fact, when a person only has to work 20 hours a week, then I think that'll be one of the courses that a lot of people will take will be parenthood. Because I think in the future society that people will realize to a much greater extent the importance of starting children off on the right foot. Right now, a lot of them don't get started off on the right foot by any means, and they get too much wrong indoctrination. Like I say, we need to walk that fine line between indoctrinating them so they can't think for themselves, yet instructing them in such a way that they can develop their creative resources and, you know, be the best they can be, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So in a city, in the future that you envision, is the population capped, or you can just have as many people as you want come into a city, or is it limited?
Well, what I see is that I think longer spacing between children will be proven to be beneficial. Now, sometimes you can have two pretty close together and give them the attention that they need. But there's one train of thought that says that the best spacing of children is once every 7 years. There's several reasons why this is good. One is it gives the mother's body time to completely regenerate, so that she actually, her whole physical body is different than the physical body that bore her last child. So that regeneration gives her power to have create a baby with greater life force and greater vitality. And also, after 7 years, that baby becomes like a firstborn. And there's many advantages to being a firstborn. The firstborns are often the greater leaders in society. And in almost all the tests between firstborns and the laterborns, the firstborns usually excel more in almost everything. And that's because they got quite a bit of attention, and also they realized that, you know, they felt that a lot was up to them, you know. And by spacing the children every 7 years, every child becomes almost like a firstborn, because if your brother is 7 years older than you, my brother was 9 years older than me, and that made me like a firstborn, almost, because then my sister was 4 years younger than me, so I'd become like a firstborn, my sister a secondborn, because of that spacing between me and my brother, because the relationship between us was so much different than two kids about the same age. Now, I don't see this as ironclad, but I see research being done, and the research, I believe, will indicate that a longer spacing between children will benefit the children. And so this will create a natural birth control for the world eventually. So we'll have a fairly steady state of population when the world eventually develops the ideal society. Yeah, Bill?
Relocation of resources. I see a possibility of reevaluating how we live in homes and how big our homes are.
Yeah.
I don't think we need 3,000 square foot homes.
Right.
Though for the real estate industry or something like that, but I'm not sure there is a need for real estate salesmen in your future.
But on the other hand, we'll eventually approach the time where everybody can afford to have as much space as they want, but what a lot of people will determine is, well, you know, I don't need 10,000 square foot. You know, I dreamed of it kind of. But the reason somebody wants a big 10,000 square foot home now, or even 3,000, is in many cases, is to be have more status than their neighbor has. Yeah, I got 10,000 square foot. My neighbor only has 5. You know, I guess I'm better than he is. You know, and this type of thinking is very motivational, to have the best house on the block. But in the future society, I see people's thinking changes, to where they don't want riches so that they can stand out above their fellow men. And when that thinking begins to disappear, then the guy that wants the 10,000 square foot house, people will look at him and say, maybe the means are there to provide it for the guy. Okay, so the guy gets a 10,000 square foot house, and everybody else looks at him and says, "What's your problem? Why do you feel the need to have a bunch of space that you cannot occupy?" And it'll be kind of embarrassing for the guy, so he'll. You know, everybody will have a wind up selecting a similar type living space, you know, enough for their needs, but not enough so they appear gaudy. And some people need more than others, and that would be fine. But some people, if I wasn't married, I'd probably be happy in just a little loft somewhere. But on the other hand, other people, they need a lot of, they like a big kitchen, you know, and that's not a problem. If somebody wants a great big kitchen, well, they can have a great big kitchen. Basically, in the future society, because of the technology that will develop, people will be able to have pretty much all the material things they want. Now, there will be things, like I say, if they want something equivalent to today's Lamborghini, you know, maybe the Lamborghini spaceship of the future. He's going to have to provide some extra payment for that somehow, because that's excessive, taking excessive from society. But it would be kind of fun to live in a society where you just get up in the morning and, you know, fulfill your duties, which are actually enjoyable, and then you have all this free time left. You can just go do whatever you want. Go down the grocery store, or probably have it delivered by a robot. You probably select it. You know, I'm kind of thinking old style here when I think of going and grocery shopping. You probably open your computer screen, pick a lettuce and tomatoes, ground beef or whatever, and then some robot dog delivers it to your doorstep 10 minutes later.
Well, that would be my job. I would deliver it for you.
But what I believe is that, and the reason I told that story of the people, those handicapped people that wanted to work, is most people want to do their share. And the reason we have so many dropouts is because of the thought forms that exist within our society. Now, when you go to different societies, like Japan, for instance, I mean, they have a totally different mindset about what responsibility is than like we have here. And because of the different mindset, they take a different approach, and they're a lot more serious about different types of services than we are here. And they have different problems than we have here, just because of the way their society is and the way it's they're raised and everything. Now, if we have a society where it's the end thing, for want of a better word, to do your service and to be respected for it, then even young kids will look forward to the day, "Dad, I want to be a coach like my dad is and do this and that," you know. And they'll look forward to being of service to the society. And so you'll have few people drop out because of laziness, and those that do will pretty much soon get back in because they won't want to miss out on all the services. So they'll be almost forced to go ahead and do their share of the labor. Okay, any questions before we continue?